Julius Caesar turned his gaze upon Britain. He knew that it was inhabited by the same type of tribesmen who confronted the Roman arms in Germany, Gaul, and Spain. To Caesar, the island presented itself as an integral part of his task of subjugating the northern barbarians to the rule and system of Rome. All that mattered was to choose a good day in the fine August weather, throw a few legions onto the nearest shore, and see what there was in this strange island. Caesar's vision pierced the centuries, and where he conquered, civilization dwelt. In this year, AD 61, according to Tacitus, a severe disaster was sustained in Britain. Suetonius, the new governor, had engaged himself deeply in the West. The king of the East Anglian, Iceni, had died. His kingdom was plundered by centurions, and his private property by slaves, as if they'd been captured in war. His widow, Boadicea, was flogged, and his daughters outraged. The chiefs of the Iceni were robbed of their ancestral properties, as if the Romans had received the whole country as a gift, and the king's own relatives were reduced to slavery. In all Britain, there were only 4 legions, at most 20,000 men. The 14th and 20th were with Suetonius on his Welsh campaign, the 9th was at Lincoln, and the 2nd at Gloucester. The first target of the revolt was Camulodunum, Colchester, the centre of Roman authority and Roman religion. The town was burnt to ashes. Everyone, Roman or Romanized, was massacred, and everything destroyed. Meanwhile, the 9th Legion was marching to the rescue. The victorious Britons advanced from the sack of Colchester to meet it. By sheer force of numbers, they overcame the Roman infantry and slaughtered them to a man, and the commander, Petilius Cerealis, was content to escape with his cavalry. Such were the tidings which reached Suetonius in Anglesey. He, undaunted, made his way through a hostile country to Londinium, a town which, though not dignified by the title of colony, was a busy emporium for traders. This is the first mention of London in literature. The citizens implored Suetonius to protect them, but when he heard that Boadicea, having chased Cerealis towards Lincoln, had turned and was marching south, he took the hard but right decision to leave them to their fate. The slaughter which fell upon London was universal. Boadicea then turned upon Verulamium, St. Albans. Alike total slaughter and obliteration was inflicted. No less, according to Tacitus, than 70,000 citizens and allies were slain in these 3 cities. This is probably the most horrible episode which our island has known. Tacitus continues, "And now Suetonius, having with him the 14th Legion with the veterans of the 20th, and the auxiliaries nearest at hand, making up a force of about 10,000 fully armed men, resolved for battle. At heavy adverse odds, Roman discipline and tactical skill triumphed. Boadicea poisoned herself." For nearly 300 years, Britain, reconciled to the Roman system, enjoyed in many respects the happiest, most comfortable, and most enlightened times its inhabitants have had. In all, the army of occupation numbered less than 40,000 men, and after a few generations was locally recruited and almost of purely British birth. In this period, almost equal to that which separates us from the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, well-to-do persons in Britain lived better than they ever did until late Victorian times. In culture and learning, Britain was a pale reflection of the Roman scene, not so lively as the Gallic, but there was law, there was order, there was peace, there was warmth, there was food, and a long-established custom of life. The population was free from barbarism without being sunk in sloth or luxury. Indeed, it may be said that of all the provinces, few assimilated the Roman system with more aptitude than the islanders.